Good afternoon, you're listening to Scariff Bay Community Radio and Local Media This Week, the programme where we talk about what they're talking about in the local print media. We have the Clare Echo and we have the Clare Champion, and we'll have a look and see what they're saying this weekend. Our programme is sponsored by Ruth Griffin Photography, and we're very grateful to Ruth for the sponsorship, and Ruth, of course, brilliant photographer based in Feakle. Today we're down a bit today in terms of numbers around the table, but we'll strive to replace and fill the shoes of those that are missing. First of all, David Fleming. David, good to see you.
Good to see you, Jim.
And Luke Fleming. Luke, you're very welcome again.
Thanks, Jim. The Tungraini Massive is represented.
I was going to say, Luke, it's nearly a Fleming takeover.
Yeah, it is. The only Scariff person around the table is myself.
And you're lucky to be there.
Yes. We've Janice and Pat are unavoidably absent this week, so we look forward to their return next week.
And I very much look forward to their return, because that means I won't be here.
You'll be back on the bench.
Exactly.
Anyway, looking at the papers today, and we look at the front pages of the papers, I suppose both the Clare Echo and the Clare Champion have the same main headline. The Clare Echo says green light for 1.2 billion data centre, and the Clare Champion says anger and frustration over NS data centre approval.
Dave, can I just ask you a question? Bord Pleanála basically didn't make a decision on anything for about 2 or 3 years, and now they're after approving a wind farm, and they're after approving a data centre. Is it a bit like the man from Del Monte says yes?
Yeah. Well, you see, these things can happen, and it is as Bridget Ginnity from the Green Party here is reported to have said, who is running as a local election candidate in the Ennis Municipal District, said she was shocked by Bord Pleanála. I was a little shocked as well, because it does appear that the government, and we'll remember the former, now we can say the former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and other members of the government saying that data centres were a significant drain on resources, and particularly electricity resources.
That was before they decided to do the sensible thing and keep Money Point open, David. You know.
So there's loads of electricity is what you're saying, Luke.
Well, I wouldn't say that there's loads, but I think the fears that were there maybe a year or two when they were deciding to shut Money Point down and not put anything there instead of it have been taken back a little bit.
And yet, I think you probably have this statistic, 42% of all of our electricity produced last year in this country was via wind.
Yeah.
Now, presumably the other 58% is fossil fuels, but in any event, a portion of it would be solar as well. But Luke, I think you saw there that one of the reports, maybe that the Greens might actually take this to a judicial review.
Yeah, we say in the Echo, we say on page one, Senator Roisin Garvey told the Echo, if this data centre was to go ahead, it would use all the available electricity for Ennis for 15 years. No new housing, no EV chargers. I'll just point out, we're still waiting for our first one out here, so the data centre hasn't made any difference.
There's
to
something
that
happening in Killaloe.
Yeah, but it's been happening there for a long time, Jim. It's not actually working yet. No new jobs outside of the few involved in the DC. Nothing but carbon emissions. This isn't in line to government data centre policy. Now, the only thing I can say in relation to that is, do I not remember the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar coming down a few years, Taoiseach at the time, coming down to launch the great Ennis 2040 plan, of which this said data centre was the holy grail.
Yeah. Except that government policy will always trump a local development plan or a county development plan. And of course, times change as well. And of course, Ennis 2040, which is all over the newspapers, is effectively a company. What is surprising, Jim, is what Pádraig says and the others say there, that this will create 450 full-time jobs.
I find that very hard to believe. Now, the only thing, David, and it's in both papers, so obviously the press release that was sent out mentioned that.
But the is it the company who are building this?
Of course it is.
Are saying this.
They are, and that would have been said in the application.
Yeah, it says, welcoming the decision, applicants Art Data Centres Limited confirmed that it will create between 400 to 450 permanent jobs with up to 1,200 in construction. I could believe the 1,200 in construction. The only thing I can potentially think of is that they are talking about that there will be 120 megawatt gas fuel generation station.
Which would have to be built, is it?
Exactly, to sort of power this. Now, I still can't see 300 or 400 jobs coming out of that because... anyone that would be able to have any bit of knowledge of a data centre can tell you that there's nearly more people to maintain the grass outside it than the people that are required inside it, you know.
So now, the only thing we'd say is, on a positive note, is that we do need data centres in this country. Everything we do, even this programme, will be stored in the cloud in a data centre. And we do need, like, data is multiplying and multiplying and multiplying with every second.
Yeah, every text we send
is data.
Every photo we send on WhatsApp, every email we send.
Yeah, well, that would be all well and good, David. But if we, heaven forbid, did a bit of proper planning and had enough energy in the country, and we have a bit of room offshore that we could generate a bit of, you know, wind energy offshore and do stuff, you know, there wouldn't
but
be
is
that,
this
that
why,
issue.
Is this why the company is saying, let's build this gas generation station?
Well, it was part of the plans, and we said the article there that Pádraig has on page 11, which says inclusion of the plans of the Ennis Data Centre in the Ennis 2040 strategy prompted Councillor Johnny Flynn to resign from the board. Of it, you know, of the great deck.
He wouldn't be happy with this decision.
Am I right in thinking then it's sitting on top of the main one of the main pipes carrying
it's
gas?
It's very close to it,
that goes up
the main pipeline up to Galway,
Isn't it there near the junction for the motorway?
Yeah, it's near the Tulla roundabout, coming in from our
That's
side.
That's where it will be. But I think if a judicial review is brought, on board Pinala might be in trouble with this one if they haven't properly considered these national policies.
Mm. Yeah, it's strange though that you something goes before the local authority, they issue a determination on it. Mm. Automatically, then it's referred to on board Pinala. Somebody objects.
Yeah,
and then board
you
Pinala,
have to be an original objector. You can't come in late in the game, so you would have had to have opposed it at county council stage
in order to
make an appeal to Bord Pinála.
And then, of course, it's no joke bringing
a judicial review. Costly, potentially costly, unless it's in the public interest. Your fees might get paid, and quite often they are, because usually they are in the public interest, matters of law and interpretation of law. Mm. But it is no joke, and you'd want to be very serious about it. But the Greens, the Green Party, if they're putting their money where their mouth is, you would expect them to do it.
Yeah, but go back a few years and sort of saying that the data centre was the great big idea, and we were, I'm not sure, David, were you in favour of it at the time? Or, you know, I don't know where
maybe we can play back some of our podcasts.
I don't know where we all against it. You know, because you were saying, oh, yeah, right, we need a few data centres. And, you know, you said, you're right, Jim. And it just so happens, you know, one of the main reasons why data centres are such a big issue in this country is that the weather conditions that we have in our climate are actually suitable for it because we're not too hot, we're not too cold, you know.
So it doesn't take as much to cool down the...
And well, we don't have earthquakes and we don't have tornadoes.
Yeah, yet anyway. So, yet. You know, but it's... this was, again, you go back to, this is all out of the 2040 DAC, and it's a little bit like, it might have been a great idea at the time, but like...
Times, they are a-changing.
Yeah, and you'd say, well, you know, if they wanted a result from Bord Pinála, if they thought it was such a bad idea, they could have withdrawn the application. Yeah. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
But it's interesting. Will we see anything operational within 5 years? I very much doubt. Say we could, next local council elections in 2029, we'll probably be talking about it.
Yeah. Going back to the forum that was in the West or in Glore there a few weeks ago, and we broadcast it in six parts over the last few weeks, it would give one great enthusiasm for the potential that's out there in terms of generating electricity off the coast. How quickly that'll happen, of course, is another matter.
Yeah.
You know, there are those who would say that we should have been working on this for years, but we're basically starting from scratch now. But certainly at some stage in the future...
I don't think there's much scratching been done.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem. Like I said, too many... what's the great line? Too many...
Too many chiefs and no Indians.
Yeah, too many chefs, not enough cooks, or, you know, something along those lines of things. Like, a few people have suggested that this is akin... The potential for this is akin to when electrification was brought into the country.
Yeah.
And that to do it properly, one semi-state body.
Yes.
And that, well, take the responsibility out of every other body and give it to create a new semi-state body. Yeah.
I've been advocating for that for a long time, that we need a state agency. It's too important. And if we are in a climate crisis, and remember, we electrified and it was no crisis. And we did that within a decade. You know, rural electrification was done in the 50s, largely. You're right, Luke. And I don't know, but we are in a system. We have parties who generally believe in the private sector, come hell or high water.
Yes. And we see in the UK how that's turned out.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go on from that for the moment. Also on page one of the Clare Echo, and there's mention of it on the Clare Champion as well, picture there of the victorious Clare captain Conor Cleary, a photo by Gerard O'Neill, lifting...
You're on your own here now, Jim, because I think that the Dungreny Massive aren't huge hurling fans.
Look, it's a lovely looking cup, Jim, is all I'll say.
Yeah. It is, and it was well won. Any day you beat Kilkenny in the final, you're doing well.
And do you think it sets them up now for the championship?
Well, it means nothing in terms of the championship.
Does it not give them a boost?
It surely does give them a boost. Mm. And, I mean, in my mind, the game that they got, a good hard match just before the Limerick game would set them up perfectly. Mm. But, I mean, the fact that they have won this, like as Shane O'Donnell told us after the game last week, if we lose to Limerick, who'll remember that we won the league? Do you know? Now, there is a Tungreny connection, because a neighbour of both of you was the person who handed the cup to Conor Cleary.
Oh.
Because the league is sponsored by Allianz, and I'd say somewhere near the top of Allianz is a neighbour of both of you, a man called Geoffrey Sparling.
Oh, Jeff.
Yes. Sure.
Halfway between both of us.
Halfway between you and a past pupil of mine.
Exactly. Yeah.
But Jeff, and I would imagine it was because Clare were the winning team that Allianz gave Jeff the honour of presenting the cup to Conor Cleary. So that was lovely.
Yeah.
Jeff obviously has more knowledge of hurling than we do, David. <Yeah. so. laughs>
Anyway, we'll go on from there. Anyway, congratulations to Brian Lohan and all the team. And we look forward to the game against Limerick, which will be on next week while we're actually, I think it's at 2 o'clock.
Mm.
So it starts at the same time. Okay, council chiefs are prohibited from talking about the planning for Ennis 2040.
Nice picture of aforementioned councillor Johnny Flynn there as well. It's on page 8 of the Echo. Pádraic has the story there, and the Echo would say last week report that the council applied for, I think, what's called a section 179A planning exemption, which enabled the granting of planning permission without any submissions from the public or representatives, begin knocking the row of cottages on Francis Street in Ennis. And apparently the councils aren't really, the officials in the council aren't really going to sort of talk much about it, or who gave the go ahead for it. So.
Well, they're certainly gone, because I was there the other day.
You can confirm that,
can
you?
I can confirm that. They're certainly below the level of the hoarding.
Right. Well, you see, I think why they can't now say anything about it is because it's before the High Court. And Deputy McNamara is quoted here in the same piece by Pádraig McMahon that Deputy McNamara told the Clare Echo, "I was even more shocked to learn that the council had done this, i.e. the demolition of these houses, without planning permission, after being served with legal proceedings in which the High Court had granted leave to judicially review the permission the council had granted itself to develop the site. In such circumstances, the usual practice is for developers to await the outcome of the court case before proceeding. Clare County Council is now acting like the dodgiest of dodgy developers."
Yeah, yes. Like great line. We're saying, speaking at Monday's meeting, just in the second part of the article there, Councillor Flynn questioned who carried out the demolition works. In response, the director, Ms. Kirby, stated, "In relation to Francis Street, the site is subject to court proceedings and judicial discussion, so we're prohibited from discussing it." Yeah. To which Councillor Flynn retorted, quote, "I asked who carried out the work over the weekend in question. Was it Ennis 2040 or Clare County Council?" Now, you'd have to imagine it was someone acting on one of their behalfs.
Yeah, but you see, this is the problem. And I think councillors pointed out this when Clare 20 or Ennis 2040 was first proposed. Ennis 2040 is a DAC, a private company.
Mm.
It is fully owned by Clare County Council.
But it's still a private company.
But it's a company, and the company has to protect itself and, you know, it has to have its own interests and is not actually accountable to the county council.
Correct.
And that was the problem that several councillors had initially with this. And now we're in a funny situation where we have a director of the county council, Carmel Kirby, who has to answer questions. And is it the company that has to answer? Like, where are the lines between both? And presumably the judicial review, the halting of proceedings or leave to grant a judicial review would have been served on the company if they're the developers, which they are.
Mm.
So it's a very strange one.
But it's all okay, David, because there was an update as part of the council's monthly management report stated, quote, "Demolition and enabling works are progressing on the site, while the site hoarding has been enhanced with graphics showing what the planned proposal is expected to look like."
Yeah, and subject to approval. I was looking at them other day.
Now, on the other hand, right, on the other hand, if you were to look at it this way, and maybe from the council's point of view or the company's point of view, we do have a housing crisis. Every second day we hear about the homeless numbers. This is supposedly the first affordable housing scheme in the county or the country. I don't know which, but certainly among it's a first.
39 apartments.
Yeah, it's the first county. It's the first time that these affordable houses will be made available in this county. And that surely must be a good thing. Now, the council or the company will argue they've got money from the government to do this. It has to be completed by the end of 2025, it says here. It was always planned we'd carry out the works as quickly as possible. So there is a bit of a tension between the procedures and planning permission and Section 179A of the planning regulations, and then the urgency of the funding.
Yeah, well, again, if you sort of bear in mind, the council had intended initially knocking the cottages to build a temporary car park at a cost of €1 million.
They did, and they backed out of that very swiftly.
Yeah, but why did they back out of it,
because
David?
There was an awful lot of opposition.
Yeah.
There was an awful lot
of
opposition.
But, like, who thought it was a good idea in the first place?
Yeah.
If this is still before the court now, could the court decide that whoever knocked the houses did so in error?
Illegally.
And order them rebuilt?
The court could order that. More likely, the court would say that something has been done illegally and issue a fine, I suppose. Or they could do it just as you said.
Yeah. Unlikely,
I would have thought.
But it's all right, David. There's going to be a few public consultations. Two are to happen to view plans for the proposed development of the post office field as part of the Ennis 2040 strategy. An elevated boardwalk designed around river biodiversity, habitat and wildlife is the proposed development on the post office field. Now, David, you mightn't be too familiar with the post office field, but Jim and myself would both be of the mind that that's a field that on many an occasion has been underwater, and it already has plenty of biodiversity around it. Does it need to be rejigged?
Well, I would agree with you. We saw a picture of it in last week's paper, and I said then, and I'll say it again, I'm even more convinced of it now, it should be left alone.
Left alone,
and
absolutely.
What is there? There's no need of a path going through it, a boardwalk.
Or going over it.
Speaking of that opposition to that development, which ultimately was successful, even though it didn't actually save those houses, but it will see the development far up 39 houses, potentially, is coming through again on that NS 2040 proposals to build on the two public car parks. If you look on page 30 of the newspaper on the Clare Echo, and it might be, I don't know if it's in the Champion, it's a paid for ad under a big section in this week's Clare Echo called Open for Business, which is all about the public realm works in Ennis. And it's sort of saying every business is open for business while these enormous works are going on. But on page 30, there is an ad from Save Ennis Town. It says here, stop the destruction of our riverside car parks. And it does appear, and we predicted that this might happen a few months back, that if this issue was still around at this time, that it might affect the local elections. And sure enough, a number of Ennis District candidates for the next local elections have signed their name to this advert saying that they're opposed to the development of the two public car parks, to build on the two car parks there. If Pat O'Brien was here now, he'd be delighted with
he
this
would.
Development.
Hmm.
It's a number of candidates there. The three Fianna Fáil candidates, Green Party, Sinn Féin, Independent, Labour Party and Social Democrats. I think there's about eight altogether. And the outgoing councillor for Fine Gael, Johnny Flynn, have signed this letter. Luke, what do you make of that?
Well, the fact that there's no Fine Gael candidate, I think, on it tells its own story. I think they have nailed their
colours
to the mast, and they're not backing down on it. And you can't sort of deny them that, you know, if they obviously
they believe in it.
So they're entitled to their views. But it is interesting.
Do you think it could swing votes?
Well, I just know that we'll say the Echo have their political podcast that they're doing up to the elections, and they were out in this very studio this week doing a bit of coverage on, we'll say, our neck of the woods. They did Ennis last week, and it was a, like, outside, you know, you talk about, we'll say, issues here, right? Mm. So Holy Island would be one in Caltra Holy Island in Caltra, the bridge in Killaloe, and the amount of turbines that they're looking to put out, you know, in the general East Clare area are what, you know, the ones that are the main discussion. But in Ennis, it's basically, it's Ennis 2040.
Right, that is the main
issue. That is the main issue. And I think, you know, these things always have a potential to get personal, and I think probably a little bit of it has got personal. But look, politics can be a dirty business at the best of times.
Mm.
And, you know, there'll be mud slung and it'll be thrown back in return.
Mm.
But generally, you know, you'd like to think that, you know, maybe if they can't all get along, that they'd sort of accept that, well, look, that's your opinion. You're entitled to it. This is our opinion. Mm. We're entitled to it. But I suppose the whole thing with it is that you look at it, and Save Ennis Town have stated that they are not putting candidates forward themselves. Save Ennis Town is basically a number of business owners in the town. And as I've said before, if the majority of the businesses in the centre of the town are opposed to something, if they were in favour of something that was going to enhance the town and bring more business / footfall into the town, I can't see how they'd be hugely against it. But I still haven't seen the advantages of getting rid of two car parks and building a private, be it private or whatever.
Office blocks, office or commercial space. Units.
If you were listening during the week, approximately 17% of all office space in the country at the minute
is unoccupied.
Yeah. That figure is only going to increase.
Yeah, and that's happening right around the world. New York is the same. 3,700 signatures are a lot of signatures.
There are a lot of signatures. And
it's a lot of votes.
To walk around Ennis, almost every business has these signs up. I saw one in Tierney's the other day, kind of a sign, and he had added to it, he said, stop this madness.
Yeah.
I'm just looking on page 5 of the Clare Champion. No going back, insists Ennis 2040.
So that is entrenched views, isn't it?
It is very entrenched. I'm just wondering, and I don't know what the legal situation is or whatever, but if enough councillors
oppose
it or get elected in the forthcoming election who oppose this, can it be stopped? Or have things...
Things have been signed. Again, it is a company, but it is a company controlled by Clare County Council.
The question, I think, is, David, do the councillors have any sway, or is it the executive of the council
that are calling the shots? This is largely an executive-driven thing with the support of certain councillors.
Yes.
And presumably a majority of the council. I don't know. We don't know, actually, the figures. There's only two existing councillors. Councillor Pat Daly and Councillor Tom O'Callaghan have signed this letter. All the others are candidates. But if local democracy means anything, you would think that the council might listen to the results of the of the election.
And I wonder what role would the government have? And I'm asking questions now rather than giving answers. But, you know, the way the government, the minister can come down and say, your local development plan is not acceptable. We want you to change A, B and C. I mean, can the minister do the same with this if, for example, they reach an impasse and so many councillors are against it?
Sure, the government have given them the money to do it.
The government can come in and say it's happening.
Or not happening, I suppose. It's an interesting question, Jim. I think the government would be reluctant to do it because these sorts of things are happening across the county council world. I mean, Limerick, it would be the same, but doesn't seem to have been as much opposition in Limerick to the proposals that Limerick 2030 or whatever they're called. But Ennis is a much smaller place and easier to mobilise. That's the other side.
Yeah, but like, you can't compare Ennis and Limerick. Limerick is the third biggest city in the country.
It is, but I mean, what I'm saying is there wasn't as much opposition to what Limerick was doing.
No, but you could also argue that you take, okay, you've Shannon Industrial Estate, which isn't in Ennis, right? You know, it's probably one of the biggest zoned areas, would say, for employment. But around the environs of Limerick City, that there is huge employment. And if you look at the current scenario with the Opera Centre, that has the potential to be a white elephant, in my opinion.
Well, for the same reason that offices are no longer being occupied. Yeah. One of the big reasons for the Limerick plans were that Limerick had very low footfall in the city centre for offices, and that was seen as a bad thing.
Yes.
COVID happened, and it actually became a good thing that Limerick didn't have as much offices.
And I would argue that the public realm works that they've carried out in O'Connell Street and Limerick haven't helped it, and aren't going to help it.
No.
But sure, maybe UL will come in and start to take a load of accommodation inside the Opera Centre, David.
Well, we're doing our best.
Yeah.
Listen, we mentioned Shannon there, Luke. We might move to Shannon just for a minute or two. And the rail spur has come up.
Yeah, now, I'm not quite sure what page this is on.
This is the green page.
But it's on page 34 in the Echo.
This is never going to happen. They're alluding to it that it might happen before the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
I put money on it that there'll be no bypass in the day or before the Ryder Cup.
Ooh.
So they're hardly going to put a spur into it. You know, out into Shannon Airport.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. We don't do proper planning in this country. And if it happens, it'll happen in about 15 years.
Well, we certainly do a lot of talking and procrastinating. And I think we might come to it in the second half, Jim, but there's maybe even question marks about the shovel-ready Broadford water treatment plant in the papers this week.
That has been mentioned. I suppose in Shannon, none of our airports, by the way, have rail.
Correct.
to them, which is probably unusual.
Very unusual. In any country. When you think of any other European country.
Any other country not called Ireland.
Yes. Okay. It is. But if since the 1960s, we have removed rail.
We have.
For the most part.
Yeah, which is unforgivable in many
sense. But the it was a response to demographic crisis.
The only place we're bringing it back, David, is in fines.
That's correct.
And which is actually a sensible decision.
And to be fair now to the government whenever it was, 15, 20 years ago, the Western Corridor restoring from Ennis to Galway. And I know you all want Croisín back in, but it's one of the slowest. I mean, we've said it before, Percy French would be proud of the fact, and that song would still be relevant. Yeah.
Well, I think we're fortunate that when the line Ennis to, or Limerick to Galway was closed, that it wasn't sold off.
Yes.
Because, I mean, there are a number of...
It's just underwater.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, how long has it taken them to solve the issues of, you know, Ballycar, of the rail line being underwater, Jim?
So, years.
You know, and you're telling me they're going to have a rail spur out before the Ryder Cup?
Yeah. But we do need it. We need it in Dublin and we need it in Shannon. And you can forget about the other places. This country only needs a handful of airports and it only needs a handful of rail spurs as a result.
Yes. Okay, we're coming close to half time. I was going to mention Blake's Corner, but it's on page 18 of the Clare Echo for our listeners. And Pat isn't here, so
no.
We will postpone debate on Blake's Corner maybe until next week.
Yeah, I suppose the only word you could use is the headline that's in the article, bottleneck.
Yes, I was there last week and we were up in Lahinch, the place just past it.
Lahinch.
My?
No, we were at the Rock Shop.
Yes,
at the Scanner. And it's absolutely daft to look at. I had a good look at it going around and kind of the traffic wasn't too heavy and I stopped and looked in and it's just unbelievable.
What's unbelievable, Jim?
The fact that these houses are...
But they're lovely examples of 19th century shop fronts as well.
And
I
you see
say.
A line of cars going halfway out to the Hinch.
Sure, hold a second now. You're after, having said you wouldn't engage in it, you're after provoking the lion now.
But you asked
Listen,
me a question.
There is a proposal to have an inner relief road around Ennis Diamond. What has happened to that? The answer to that is it's... We raise it again. It's before the courts. There's a judicial review. People are in one of the people involved in the compulsory purchase has opposed the planning, and they've brought a judicial review. They're entitled to bring a judicial review, but that has held the whole thing up, Jim.
Okay. I'm just wondering if this is built, this roadway around Lahinch, and we come back in 40 or 50 years' time, would the state of the houses at Blake's Corner have worsened?
Well, the council own those houses. They're protected structures, and the article is actually about asking the council to do something about it, because it is a disgrace to see those lovely shop fronts being weathered and eroded, having considered all the controversy about them.
I think we should move on, Jim.
It's half time. Yeah. Have we any suggestions for music, because Pat isn't here and we'll have to do something.
Well, we mentioned Percy French there. I mentioned him, but maybe you can propose something better than Percy.
Well, we'll find a song by Percy French.
Are you right there, Michael? Are you right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Fair enough.
On the West Clare Railway, which was sold off in portions. Can you imagine now the greenway it would make?
In honour of John S. Kelly, Percy French came from Roscommon.
He did.
Are you right there, Michael? Are you right?
Are you right there, Michael? Are you right? Do you think that you'll be home before it's light? 'Tis all dependent whether the old engine holds together. And it might, no, Michael, so it might. And it might, no, Michael, so it might.
You're very welcome back. You're listening to Local Media This Week on Scariff Bay Community Radio. Are you right there, Michael? Are you right from the pen of Percy French when we were talking about rail spurs and whatnot before the break? Now, in the second part of the show, we generally concentrate on East Clare matters, and there are quite a number of East Clare matters in on the papers this week. I mean, one picture there on page 12 of the Clare Echo, which is, I suppose it's an interesting one for those of us who've been around for a while. And it's to coincide with, what is it?
125 years of local democracy.
Yes, and a picture there of former councillors.
Yeah, indeed. And we'll say one of our great political contributors, Paul Bogler, of course, smack bang there in the middle of him. Great to see him. There's a lot of people there to be well known. James Breen, Flann Garvey, Fianna Fáil, Bill Slattery, Fine Gael, Christy Curtin, Independent. Oliver Gary, Fine Gael, Tony Killeen, ex-TD, of course, Madeleine Taylor-Quinn, ex-TD, and Senator Roisin Garvey. So it was a proposal made to honour the 1899 meeting had been made by Councillor PJ Flynn in January and seconded by Councillor Gabriel Keating of Fine Gael. And the suggestion to invite former councillors to attend was made by Councillor Gerry Flynn at a meeting of the Corporate Policy Group. And the great thing about it is that's on page 12 of the Echo, Jim, and on page 13, what do you get when you sort of invite a load of people in, and especially maybe a few of the boys and ladies from the good old days? You get a row.
You do.
Because you get an argument.
And on a very technical nature.
Oh, yes. Standing orders. Standing orders.
The row wasn't between the older retired councillors. The row was between two current councillors.
Yeah, and one of our own, Councillor Pat Hayes, he crossed swords with Councillor Gerry Flynn. And Councillor Flynn subsequently accused Fianna Fáil of using their majority on the council to rip apart democracy.
Yes, indeed. Scratch Saturday, do you remember that?
Yes.
They would have a great time with this sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I suppose looking at that page there, on page 12, on the top of page 12, there are two links to be had there where you can scan the QR code.
Yeah, and I'd say next week, Jim, we alluded to it there, that the one of particular interest, it's basically for subscribers to the Echo. And I'll have to sort of just raise my hand in relation to this. I give them a little bit of a hand in trying to put it together just from the technical point of view, and it's getting better as it goes on each week, I think, would be the best way to describe it. It started off a bit ropey sound-wise, but basically the Echo have initiated a number of episodes where basically they're going around talking about, we'll say, the county in general, and then they're going around discussing the municipal districts. So episode 4 is this week, and that will be the episode in relation to the Killaloe Municipal District. And I have to say, Gary Miley, who is representing the Social Democrats, Barry O'Donovan, who ran for the Green Party last time around.
Another Tumgrainy resident.
Exactly. And it was great to see, and Fiona McGarry, ex of the Clare Champion and ex of, we'll say, our local correspondent out here. It was great to see her, and I can guarantee you one thing, her political noose and knowledge are as sharp as ever. Mm. So I would say if you're a subscriber to the Echo, it's €2 a week, or €69 for the year. And they do many, you know, things behind the paywall, you know, exclusive stories and stuff like that. It's well worth it. It's not even, at this stage, it's not even half a cup of tea or half a cup of coffee a week. You know, it's well worth to get it. And you could listen back to all the previous episodes that are there. So we'll say the most recent episode, we'll say, that's available as of, we'll say, this week's episode of the media is the Killaloe Municipal District. And a good debate was had in relation to it as well.
Mm. Brilliant.
No, it's worth
great. But it's good. And they're looking well, the retired councillors,
yeah.
So and they look in great form. A cloud, and there are plenty of clouds. The clouds haven't stopped coming over East Clare and the rest of the country as well for months and months. But a little cloud in the horizon in relation to Broadford and Coora Clare.
Well, I'd say whatever about clouds, there won't be shovels anyway.
No shovels will be in the ground in Broadford or Coora Clare by next election, predicts TD. And this is Deputy Michael McNamara, who says that he doesn't think there will be any work proceeded on the Broadford and Coora Clare wastewater treatment. You know, we've been, regular listeners will be familiar with what we're talking about here, but this is the proposed wastewater treatment facility under a special scheme that the government set up for for relieving certain places of the pressure so that development can then happen. But it appears that, you know, there was a lot of brouhaha, Luke, about the initial announcement back in December. But actually, the council were only officially informed, wait for it, in February. It took, you know, there was, do you remember, Jim?
So we knew it before the council.
We did.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, Deputy McNamara is to be commended, in my opinion, because it appears that the contribution, the email that he sent, basically, and he was speaking to the Echo, he said, "The minister made an announcement on this on December 7th with a lot of fanfare and it followed many false dawns. Yet it took his department a full 2 months to write Clare County Council to tell them what they had already announced in the media." And they only sent that email the day after Deputy McNamara had sent an email to the department querying it.
They forgot, maybe, to tell Clare County Council.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, is it lack of time? Is it lack of will? Is it lack of money? Or is it maybe lack of shovels?
it's hardly lack of shovels, but it's a little bit like, you know, the great political announcement, you know, it's so good you announce it three times.
Deputy McNamara felt it was bizarre that the department have requested the council to be requesting project governance information. So this could be the procrastination and the kicking the can a little bit, and the bureaucracy, of course, as well. The council being requested more governance information, given it is the local authority doing the project, and that they were shovel ready projects. They were ready for the works to commence. There is no firm timeline, and people in Broadford will be perhaps more interested in this. When is it going to happen? But the information here is there is no firm timeline on when the department will report on the information they receive from the local authority. So therefore, we have no idea.
Couldn't all this have been done before the announcement was made?
But should that make sense?
And I mean, shovel ready would suggest ready to go to tender.
Yeah, it would. Planning permission has been granted. If Pat O'Brien was here, he would have told us now planning permission was granted at such and such a time.
Yes.
But of course, things might have changed. There might be newer regulations, all of this sort of thing. And planning permission only lasts for 5 years, I think it is. Isn't it 5 years?
Yes.
And if that could be ticking.
Yes.
So we need to watch it.
We need Pat back to...
And if it could be an election issue, a general election issue.
Yes.
Well, because a lot of RTDs in this constituency were very quick to promise this. Didn't one senator say that if the announcement wasn't made, he wouldn't be on the ticket?
Correct.
Well, maybe he'll make an announcement now when it will actually be built. Will it be this in the lifetime of the next Dáil?
Yes. Mind you, with an election coming, it tends to...
focus minds.
It does tend to focus minds and things get announced.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sure, it's all well and good, Jim, both them being announced, but they need to get started.
They need to find those shovels.
Yeah.
Well, a date needs to be put forward.
A timeline, anyway.
Yes. Okay. How can you be a tourist in your own county? This
at great expense, normally. But not this weekend.
No, weekend. It is the weekend of April 20th and 21st. Yeah. And this is a great initiative. And it is.
What page is it?
This is page 14 and 15 of the Clare Echo. And I'd say it's in the Champion as well, somewhere. It's part of visitclare.ie, and which is the county's tourism promotion facility. And they're offering, The tourist season for international visitors is only just kicking off. As it happens, I have a few visitors coming that weekend from America, so I'll be availing of it. But this is designed for locals and for people here. And it's excellent. 50% off discounts to Clare's top attractions and free entry for some of them. And I just picked the local ones here in East Clare. But you can imagine the usual ones like Doolin, the Doolin Cave and the cliffs and so on. But Bunratty, you get 50% off on the Sunday, the 21st. There's Craganown, you get 50% on the Sunday. There's Irish Seed Savers, which is free, so you can go up there and explore them. Killaloo River Cruises, 50% off on both Saturday and Sunday. And Tulla Guided Walk, a free one on the Sunday. You have to book for that. And Wild Irish Chocolates in Tuam Grainy Luik is 50% off there as well. You have to get the vouchers from the paper, though. That's the key thing. So another reason, if you needed another reason to go out and either pick up the free Clare Echo or buy the Clare Champion. I think it's great.
Yeah, it is. I'm just looking there. The Vandeleur Walled Garden.
Yeah.
Lovely place to go.
Yeah.
I know it's the other end of Clare from where we are, but it's really, really, yeah, really nice.
Yeah. I'd agree with you. And I've only been there once a few years back, and I'd love to go back and see, because of course gardens develop over the years.
The council have bought it, David, as well.
That's so true. That is true. And hopefully in time we will be seeing Inis Caltra on this list in a year or two.
Yes.
Yeah,
they have started work on the house.
What did he do? Yeah, 9 years later.
Luke was with you all the way until you said in a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, I was up in Mount Shannon and I saw that they have it hoarded up and there is work underway on the house. So that's a good sign.
Well, we should also sort of state that there's a few signs up and there's signs of activity over in Drewsborough.
I saw that too.
So Supermax, with their recent advertisements in the paper looking for staff, we'd be hoping that maybe before the end of the summer we'll have a shop to go visit
are
again.
Moving ahead. And Jim, there's a lovely picture there of on page 19 of the Clare Echo, of a photograph of four locals, it has to be said, at the testimonial match for
Michael Hines
in Whitegate. It's a picture of Jim McInerney, Ger Rogers, Noel Maloney, and John Slattery, who were there for the match, and they're all with smiles, though with all their coats on and their hats on, so it looked as if it might have been a cold old day, and even wet perhaps.
They were taking no chances, but it was a game organised in memory of the late Michael Hines, and Michael played with Whitegate, he played with Clare, he played with Scariff Community College, and he played with UL.
Right.
And there were representatives from those four clubs, institutions, whatever, and they had a kind of an exhibition type of game.
Yeah.
You know, but we had the family in here last week for Sportsline, and, you know, they really all were, despite the fact that some of them are in training for various competitions, you know, and wouldn't be supposed to play in anything else, but they were absolutely determined, particularly some of the students that he was with. Yeah. And I believe they did very well. They were raising money for Limerick Suicide Watch.
That's right. Well, according to the paper, it says here, Jim, €15,640 was raised, which is an enormous sum of money for one game, you know. And that was only of last Wednesday morning. So donations are still being accepted, it says here.
Yes. And the other, I suppose, while we're mentioning Michael Hines, another man who was buried during the week was Liam Walsh from Killaloe. And again, a man who, you know, hadn't been well for some time, but passed away during the week, and very, very well-known man, very well-known family, and big into Smith O'Brien's GAA and various things. So I suppose we pass on our condolences as well to his family. I suppose looking in the time we've left, looking at the East Clare page in the Clare Champion on page 13, and Joe Cooney is not happy with the roads in East Clare. He calls them the poor relation.
Well, I think we came up with this. I think we mentioned this briefly last week, that several other councillors are pointing out to poor road markings, poor road signage.
Yes.
And the surface of the roads. And, of course, with this constant wet weather we're having, you'd feel half sorry for the roads, because they have to bear the brunt of it.
They have to bear the brunt
of it. Now, I want to pay tribute to the council and to the workmen of the council. I don't see any women, so I think I can say workmen of the council, who I have, ever since I arrived in this county, every year I have seen them out opening drains on the side of the road. And I never actually saw it in Cork or Limerick where I lived in the past, but I see it here. And that does help.
Yeah,
but we'd accept Councillor Cooney's verdict there, because they are in certain places not great. There is, of course, controversy this week about roads. This is a national controversy where local authorities are not supposed, are not seemingly receiving technical data from departments around road accidents and where the roads are at fault. But the council can't be informed, seemingly, because of GDPR.
Yeah.
About where exactly these things are. It's barmy. The government and the Tánaiste in the Dáil said it was complete nonsense that this is the case, and that supposedly there's a specialist group trying to figure it out. But it is amazing that we need a specialist group to try and figure it out.
Let me guess, there's probably consultants to do a bit of consulting.
Yeah, well, there was a big hole in the bridge at Killaloe for ages. I'm not sure if it's been repaired.
It was patched, but I think it needs a proper job. I think that they said it would need the bridge to be closed for, you know, overnight maybe to sort it.
Wouldn't a wheelbarrow full of...
I think the problem is, Jim, you could put the wheelbarrow into the hole, but yeah. there's nothing to hold because it's a bridge. It'll be sort of going down into the water.
Speaking of Killaloe, they also here on page 19... The East Clare page of the Echo, lights out in Killaloe, which is rather alarming. Numerous street lights are out in Killaloe, elected representatives have flagged, writes Padraig McMahon. With campaigning from candidates in the upcoming local elections increasing, councillors in East Clare have observed a number of street lights in Killaloe are out of action. It suggests, is Padraig suggesting that it's only because they're canvassing that they've noticed that the lights are out at night time?
Yes.
But it says here anyway, of course... Killaloe Municipal District Cathaoirleach Councillor Tony O'Brien requested that a new street light of Killaloe be erected on Church Street in Killaloe. Acting Senior Executive Engineer in the Killaloe Municipal District, Declan Flanagan, outlined that the Killaloe Ballinagh Town Enhancement and Mobility Plan seeks to enhance the public realm of Killaloe. Our improvements to public lighting will be a key element of the plan. So maybe Killaloe will get its lights.
If you're down at the bottom of Bridge Street, you'll get a new light. And you know, you're talking about the election season is coming. It's noticeable. The advertisements are starting, and there, as you said, it's an advertorial there that the Social Democrats have for their two candidates. Hilary Tong, of course, who is going in Ennis, and Fiona Levy, who is standing in the Killaloe Municipal District. And I'm told that they were out canvassing locally here and in Killaloe last weekend as well. So,
Speaking of lights in Tulla, or in Killaloe, in Tulla the council have given a green light to major Tulla development, according to Dan Danaher on page 13 of the Clare Champion. A TSM Venture Limited has received the green light for a change of use to the coffee shop, food takeaway and four residential apartments, including alterations and refurbishment to existing shared accommodation. So it's a commercial and residential development. Mm. On the main street in Killaloe.
Well, the main street of Tulla.
Of Tulla,
part of it looks lovely and the rest of it looks very run down. And for the population that's in Tulla now, it certainly deserves more.
Yeah,
business.
I think that's a good news story if they'll bring any bit of commercial development into. And a lot of the town, unfortunately, a lot of our villages and towns in East Clare are similar.
Yeah.
You know, they're devoid. And I'd put Killaloe into that bracket. I'd certainly put Broadford into that bracket, where there's very little commercial activity on the main street.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I suppose it's the way of the world, maybe. Yeah. But you compare it with Scariff, for example, a thriving commercial town.
Which is, I wouldn't go that far, Dave. I'm sure they'll be digging it up again now.
It'll be our version of Ennis.
They're also
looking for traffic calming in Tulla at Pappy's Cross on the main kind of Ennis Scariff Road as it passes. The go ahead for fecal student houses. This had bypassed me before, but apparently.
I think Luke had heard of it, all right, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I think it might have been we let you off for a week or two there, David, a while ago, and I think there's one or two centres up around Feakle that were looking for a sort of student accommodation for particular periods of time, and that there was a change of planning permission being sought. Yeah. So it appears as if they've been successful.
It does seem a little strange that Feakle in particular would be a hub for students, but of course you can get tax breaks and all sorts of things, but I can't say too much about that. I might get my institution into trouble.
Yes.
I think you're in enough trouble as it is, David.
Listen, at that, we might call a halt for today. Again, we'd be looking for Pat in a moment, but Pat isn't here. David, many thanks for joining us.
And, thank you, Jim.
Luke, many thanks for stepping in. And
hopefully the A team will be back to supplement.
We're nearly on the C team at the moment.
To supplement you next week.
You were doing all the technicals as well.
I think we should play a song in order in honor of the two boys. So like it would have to be related to Sucky Cavs and sort of the men being released. I think after Easter. David, so anything appropriate you could think of?
I pass this over now to Jim very quickly.
Listen, we'll surprise the listeners
exactly with
what we bring up. Anyway, that's all from us for now. Many thanks. Join us next week again, next Sunday, please God, at 2 o'clock. And until then, from us, goodbye and God bless. Yeah.